Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Long Hollow. If you're here for the first time, we welcome you to our church. God is doing some amazing things here. It's a great season to be a part of Long Hollow. We welcome you at Gallatin. I don't know if you know, but Chris Jones, who was our Gallatin campus pastor for about a year, felt a leading back to the business world that he really came from, and it was a great thing for Chris. He really set up, he and Wendy, to get us here. But it left an opportunity to put a new pastor in as the Gallatin campus pastor. And our team decided the best fit for that would be Russell and Darlene Irwin. Now for me, it's just a great gift if you know. I call Russell the Swiss Army knife of Long Hollow because he's done just about everything I've asked him to do. So we welcome you at Gallatin. I know you're excited to have Russell and Darlene. Or if you're incarcerated in a prison, we welcome you as well. Today is a message I think all of us need to learn from and apply to our life. I want to speak today about how to hear the voice of God. And I think every Christian wants to know that. Amen. Who wants to know how to hear and discern the voice of God? Because we read Hebrews 11, or we read the Bible in general, and we come face to face with men and women who literally heard the voice of God. And we wonder, is that possible today? Or better yet, how can that happen to me? We see people living fearlessly for the Lord, not backing down in the face of persecution. And we're saying, man, I wish I had the faith like that. That's what we're going to see here today. How do we learn to discern the voice of God? Hebrews 11, if you have a Bible, turn there. Hebrews 11 is the outline for that. Now, you're probably saying, well, it doesn't mention anything about hearing the voice of God. I get that, but it does mention the word faith. And that word faith is tethered to God's voice. Faith and God speaking are interconnected. Hebrews 11, we like to say word. When you're there, you could say word. The word of the Lord. Now, faith is the reality or the substance, the ESV says, of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God. There it is. So that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Verse 6. Now without faith it is possible. It is what? Impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I want to give you three ways we can tune our ear to the accent of the Holy Spirit as it connects to faith in this chapter. The first is this, write this down. Faith clears our ears to hear. Did you know that? The more faith we exercise, the more we're able to hear the voice of God. Everyone in chapter 11 of Hebrews knew what Paul was teaching in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. I don't have time to quote the whole passage, but you can go back and study it. Paul says they heard a, quote, word of faith. That's what it says in Romans 10, 8. They heard the word of faith. Now, that's important because in the Bible, there are actually two words for word. I don't know if you knew this. Two Greek words. On the one hand, you know this one, it's called logos or logos. That's the word for word. But there's another word in the Bible for word, write it down, it's called rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. Logos and rhema. The most popular one of the two is logos. It's found 330 times in the entire Bible. It's in familiar passages like John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos or word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Ephesians 1, when you heard the word of truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were saved. That's the word. General word of God. The word rhema is used less often. In fact, it's only used 68 times in the New Testament. Think of it this way. Rhema is a word from God specifically tailor-made and applied to your life. Here's another way to look at it. When I speak the word of God today, when the rhema word comes to your life, it's like the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, this is not for her, big boy. This is for you. Amen? right? This is for you, sister, not him. It's the word of God coming to your life. You receive it and it applies. Romans 10, 17, here's the pop quiz. This is a very familiar verse. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Pop quiz, logos or rhema? Hearing the word of Christ, logos or rhema? Rhema, interesting. In fact, in that whole chapter, rhema. Here's why that's important. Because the Bible teaches us we are able to grow in our faith in direct proportion to the intake of the word. More word, more faith. The word of God applied to our life in present situations, as we act upon that, our faith is increased. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. These are men and women, don't miss this, who by faith saw it before anybody else saw it, believed it before anybody else believed it, and acted upon it by faith, which leads to number two. Not only does faith unclog our ears, number two, faith opens our eyes to see differently. Faith opens our eyes. Look what the text says. Faith opens our eyes to see the things that are not as though they are. Now the ESV says the substance of, the CSB says the reality of, what is hoped for, the proof that is not seen. Look at me. Faith in the Bible does not rely on our intellect, our willpower, or our belief system. Think of it this way. The disciples, when Jesus called them, had little faith. And the reason they had little faith is because they had little understanding or knowledge of Jesus. At one time, Jesus comes down from a mountain with the three disciples. The disciples are trying to heal a man who was demon-possessed. You remember this, a boy, and they couldn't do it. We tried. And Jesus says this line, "You faithless generation, how much longer do I have to put up with you guys?" That's what he says. What does Jesus lose his mind over? Disciples who've been given all the power in the world but were faithless to use it. But don't miss this. If you turn to the end of their life, they're not the same men and women. Why? Because their faith is strengthened. How did it happen? The more, don't miss this, the more of Jesus they learned, the easier he was to follow. See, the reason you have a hard time following Jesus, brother, is because you don't really know him. And the way you get to know Jesus, sister, look at me, is through the word. That's why Bible study and reading the F260 and spending time in the word until the word gets into you changes your life. Think of it this way. When you know the Bible, you know Jesus. When you don't know the Bible, you don't know what? Jesus. So your faith is interconnected to your knowledge. Let me say it another way. You can't trust someone, or you won't trust someone you don't know. It makes sense, right? And for some of you, and I say this with love, but listen to me, and I'm not throwing stones at you. I don't want to call you out. I want to call you up today. For some of you, look at me. Knowledge and understanding of Jesus in your life is synthetic and surface level. If you're honest, you haven't grown in 20 or 30 years from the VBS lessons or the summer camp sermons you heard 20 or 30 years ago. Your faith isn't strengthened. Your trust isn't developed. Some people say faith is a leap in the dark. No way. For the Christian, don't miss this. Faith is actually a leap in the light of the word of God. It's walking and believing in the promises of God. Does that make sense? Now, those of you in here will say, "Well, man, I don't think God speaks that way. You know, God isn't speaking that way today. You mean God speaks the same way he spoke back then?" Well, I get that. I understand that. But let me ask you this. Have you devoted the time or extended the effort or made the space to hear the voice of God? When was the last time you said, "God, I have no agenda but you. I'm here to hear from you"? When was the last time the Holy Spirit took the logos word of God and through the rhema word for your life, applied it to your life? And you're like, "Man, I heard the," not an audible voice, but I heard the voice of God. During the height of the revival here, it was the second wave, because we had a first wave in 21 through the summer, and then the next August we had another wave. And I was asked to speak at a church planting conference. Robert and I were there. I don't remember where I was. I think it was in the West somewhere. But I was speaking to a group of 200 Southern Baptist church planters, okay? And as I was speaking to them about the revival and the Holy Spirit, which made them a little nervous when I started mentioning the Holy Spirit, I kept saying lines like this because it's just commonplace. I would say, the Lord spoke to me, or I heard from the Lord, or the Lord told me. Now, in our church, we don't get flustered by that because that's part and parcel of Long Hollow. But to a group of 200 Southern Baptist church planters, not so much, right? If you can imagine, the line was long to talk to me after I'd finished. One of the guys came to me, bless his heart, he was a self-proclaimed theologian. One of those guys, love it. Precious soul for whom Christ died. He walked up here. No, I'm playing. He walked up. I had a lot of compassion. I'm joking. I had a lot of compassion. He walked up, and here's what he said. He said, I just want to tell you, I don't agree with anything you just said. That'll bless you after a talk of 45 minutes to 200 pastors. I was like, oh, really? What part? He said, pretty much all of it. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you keep saying you heard from God. You keep saying God speaks to you. I don't believe that. He said, I don't believe God does that today. And I said to him, I want you to hear my heart, and I have a lot of compassion on you, and I'll tell you why. Because 2 or 3 years ago, before my porch time with God, I would be just like you criticizing a guy just like me. Here's what you have to understand. I'll give you a little secret of pastoral ministry. It's like pull the curtain back on pastoral ministry. Most pastors, including me for years, are critical of other pastors and other churches because we live by what's called an autobiographical ministry, meaning if it doesn't happen to me in my church, there's no way it can happen. Friends, I'm here to tell you, God can do whatever God wants to do, amen? And you and I, theologically or systematically, will never put God in a box. So I told this guy, I said, man, listen, I know, I was like you. It didn't happen to me, so I was questioning it. I said, but hear my heart, and I say this with all due respect. I said, brother, when was the last time you sat on the porch for 10 months for 2+ hours a night, bending your ear to hear the accent of the Holy Spirit? Better yet, when was the last time you did it for 10 weeks or even 10 hours, or better yet, 10 minutes? See, it's very easy to be critical of someone else when you don't devote the time yourself. Friends, I'm here to tell you, based on the Bible, the same God who spoke to them in the Old and New Testament is the same God who's speaking today. The question is, are we listening? One of my favorite quotes about the mystics, and I used to soft play the mystics to say, I'm kind of mystical, not really. I'm just gonna say it. I'm a full-blown mystic. And here's what a mystic is, right? Not the negative side, but probably positive. A mystic is someone who believes that your relationship with God is more than intellectual head facts knowledge. It's an encounter. They encountered the living God. They wanted to have an encounter with the living God. Here's what Evelyn Underhill, one of my favorite new quotes, I love this quote, says about the mystics. And here's what she, mystics are people who encountered living God. Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, people like that. Watch what she said. It's not that God loved or attended to them more than others. It's that they loved and attended to God more than the rest. Say that again. The secret to people who had a palpable encounter with a living God was that not that God loved them more than you or me. No, it's that they loved God more than we do. They attended to God more than we do. So when you have faith in God and you live by that faith, your eyes begin to see, your ears begin to hear, and then finally, here it is. And this is the bow for the whole thing. Faith always calls us to act or action. Always. I mean, that's what the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is about. Let me give you a definition for faith. I want you to write this down. It's a simple definition. Faith is the conviction that God's word is true. Faith is the conviction that God's word is true, and by acting upon his word, it brings blessing to our life, okay? Simple definition. Faith is the belief and the conviction that God's word is true. The promises of God are true and yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And by acting upon those promises, it brings blessing. Now don't think, man, I'm gonna be rich in Jesus, you know? Maybe, but it's emotional, physical, relational, spiritual blessing from God. A better way to understand faith, because our culture has kind of hijacked the word, I like to think of it as faithfulness. Write that down. Because faithfulness brings about an action. It's not something that's one and done. This is not a start and it's over. It's something that you follow through with to the end. It's a continual action in your life. Here's what I've learned about faith in my own life, and I could probably find scripture to support this, but I just tell you my own experience about faith. I've learned from sitting with the Lord now since 2020 March, what I've learned is God speaks more frequently when I act more consistently on what he speaks. I want you to get this. If you get nothing else, I want you to get this. Here's what I mean. It's like God is looking to see who he can trust to act on his word before he begins to speak to them, because if you don't act, God's like, why waste the word? You see what I'm saying? Let me say it this way. This is a way to think of it. The volume of God's voice in your life, write this down, is in direct proportion to your obedience to respond. Say that again. The volume of God, because right now you're like, I don't hear God speak at all. The volume's too low and the world is too high. The culture's too high. TikTok's too high. YouTube's too high. Call of Duty, Fortnite's too, whatever it is. Your text message group is too high. Football story back's too high. You don't hear the voice. God's speaking, the volume's too low. So the volume of God's voice in your life is in direct proportion to your obedience to respond. Think about it this way. Disobedience to God, silence. Obedience to God, speaking. Any questions? Pretty simple, right? I mean, the Christian life's pretty simple. Why? Because in the Bible, you will find the word obedience and faith are interconnected. They are connected. They're always tethered together. Here's what I mean. Go find me in the Bible where it says that you need to have an intellectual faith. You won't find it. The Bible doesn't talk about theological faith. The Bible talks about actionable faith. God speaks, we act. The question is not whether you believe in God. The question is not even whether you're saved. Let's be honest. For those who are moving here, I met a person in line today from Arizona. They said, we are baffled by everybody in Middle Tennessee saved. Everybody's saved. Everybody's saved. Why? Of course I'm saved. I got baptized at the First Baptist Goodlandsfield Church of Christ. Of course I'm saved. The question is not whether you're saved. Here's the question. Because here's the deal. The question is, does God live in you? The question is, have you been changed by the gospel? Do you behave based on what you believe, right? See, here's what we need to do. You want to strengthen the muscle of faith? You need to start putting feet to your faith. You need to start living in your life by what you profess with your mouth. See, Hebrews 11 is not a demonstration of men and women who passed a PhD entrance exam of Bible trivia of the Old Testament. That's not what Hebrews 11 is. In fact, they're not remembered for what they believe at all. They're remembered for one thing. What? What they did. What they did. It doesn't say, by faith, Abraham was able to understand Calvinism and Arminianism. Sadly, that's what would happen to most churches in America, some pastors. Or he ran people off with the 5 points of TULIP, but the church died in the, you see what I'm saying? I'm not discounting theology and doctrine. What I'm saying is, if it doesn't lead to action, it's worth nothing according to the Bible. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. I wanna show you one. I had two or three, but for time I had to cut, but you can look on your own. But let me just kind of walk you through the life of Abraham. Because Abraham was a man who lived by faith. Look at verse 17. Say word when you get there. Word. I tell you nothing, just sidebar here. When Shane Sisk preached, I just remember when Shane was preaching, but when Shane preached, we were watching worshiping online, and that camera right there, I was watching just a pan view of the church, just kind of an over. This is what blew me away. It did my heart so good. I was blown away about how many people had Bibles, phones, tablets, or journals in our congregation. That does a pastor's heart good. So proud of you guys. Yeah, give yourself a hand. I'm so proud of you guys. Golly. You're not hearing me. You want to hear from God. Amen. Because God is speaking through his word. Verse 17. By faith, now remember, faithfulness. When Abraham was tested, offered up Isaac, he received the promises, and yet he was offering his one and only son. Meaning, if this one dies, there's no one else. I don't know if you know, but I'm 100+ years old now. There's no plan B. Sarah ain't gonna go for it. Just from it. I mean, I know. Guys, we know. 100 was pushing it. That ain't gonna happen. I'm just telling you. Okay. Not many of our houses. Okay. The one to whom it was said, he received the promises, and yet he was offering his one and only son. The one to whom it had been said, your offspring will be traced back to Isaac. So he considered God to be able to raise someone even from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, figuratively speaking. Now, here's what's happening. Abraham got a word from God, a word of faith, a word from God about having a son at the ripe old age of 75 years old. How many people are 75 or older? Raise your hand proud. We want to honor you. Imagine, brother, you just get word you're going to have a baby. a baby, okay? And oh, by the way, no, it gets even better. By the way, she's not going to have the baby for 25 more years. 100, that's when Isaac comes. When she's 90, he's 100. So he waits for 25 years for the promise of God. And just when things couldn't get any better, I mean, this is our boy, the golden boy. Here he is, the whole nation will come through him. God says, oh, let me go ahead and test your faith to see if you trust me. I want you to bring the boy up to the mountain. You're gonna sacrifice the boy and kill him and offer him up to me, which is bonkers to think about. So what did he do? Abraham obeys. He takes the boy with his caravan. He goes all the way to the mountain. And I believe Abraham got a word from God from heaven and he stood in that word. How do I know that? Now, it doesn't say that in the text, but it's in the margin. It's in the blank spaces of the Bible. And how do I know that? Because I want you to notice the action or the words of Abraham before he goes up to the mountain. Genesis 22, verse 5, look what the text says. Then Abraham said to his young men who were with him, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going to go over there to what? No. Abraham, you've lost your mind. You're not going to worship now. You're going to kill a boy. No. What is Abraham saying? Abraham's saying, you're seeing things with natural eyes. But God has given me supernatural eyes. What I'm about to do is an act of worship for God because God is testing my faith. And oh, by the way, when we're done, watch this line. I'll be back. I mean, that's where Schwarzenegger got it from, right? I mean, I'm going and I'll be back. I mean, it's the original Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator, right? He's saying, listen, the boy and I are gonna go, but I'm coming back. How did he do that? Abraham's faith in the word of God altered his focus on the world. His faith in God changed his outlook on the world. Why? Because when he got a word, he acted on that word. Look at me, brother and sister. When was the last time you got a word from God? When was the last time you said, honey, I just heard from the Lord. God spoke to me. Moses, I mean, I can go through the whole thing. Moses, Hebrews 11, verse 23. Let me just give you a quick update. Moses' parents, by faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. What? You gotta understand, to go up against Pharaoh was instantaneous death. What would possess a mom and her husband to hide a child, then build a raft of salvation through plants, and then sail Moses on the ark of salvation, just like Noah, across the waterway to Pharaoh? What would do that? They didn't fear Pharaoh because they had faith in God. They got a word from God, and they didn't falter. But it wasn't just Moses, and it wasn't just Abraham, and it wasn't just Noah or Sarah. In fact, if Hebrews 11 ended before verse 32, we could say, well, those are the superheroes of the Christian faith. We can't do that. But aren't you glad verse 32 and followings there? Watch this. I love this section. Verse 32, and what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell you about Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophet. Boy, I wish he had time. Anybody else with me? Wish you could say more. In fact, that's probably what heaven's like. Wouldn't that be cool? Hey, Gideon, tell me what that battle was. Oh, you'd never believe it. Hold on, Samuel, I want to finish this. I'm going to get to you, Samuel, in a second. You know, I mean, that's what heaven's going to be like. Watch this. These are men and women who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength in weakness, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release, so they might gain a better resurrection. They had eyes beyond this world. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved. Here it is. It starts with approval and ends with approval. All these were approved through their faith or action, what they did. But they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us in Christ so that they would not be made perfect without us. Come in close. Look at me. When you read Hebrews 11, you are introduced to men and women who are nameless, who changed the world for God. Now, I want you to feel the weight of this. Watch this. Let me put it in perspective. None of them had a Bible in their hands or a Bible to access when they walked by faith. They didn't even have a vision of what God was going to do. But what they had is something many of us don't have. They had a voice from heaven. They didn't have a church. They didn't have sermons to listen to. But what they had is the Spirit of God living within them. And they changed the world. And don't miss this. Not only did they get a word from God in the moment, the word they got from God pointed to Christ in the future. How do I know that? Because Noah's Ark in Hebrews 11 doesn't just point to God rescuing people from a flood. It points to God rescuing sinners from judgment through his son. And Abraham's offering doesn't just point to him sacrificing his son and then the ram bails him out. No, Abraham points to the God of heaven offering up his one and only son, and nobody stays his hand. It comes down and Jesus dies for our salvation. Moses leaving the palace of Pharaoh and the riches of glory to go and save his people is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ stepping down from heaven, coming to earth to lead us into eternal glory through the cross. Friends, Jesus is not just the word they heard. Jesus was the word wrapped in flesh, living among them in grace and truth and in love. And these men and women, look at me, would rather lose their lives than fail God. These men and women would rather die than deny Jesus. Why? Because they heard a word from God. See, this is the problem in the world today, is that we don't know the voice of God. We know the voice of Facebook, and we know the voice of Instagram, and we know the voice of Snapchat, but we don't know the voice of the Spirit. You and I are listening to cowards behind keyboards rather than reading the red letters of Jesus Christ, amen? Let me remind you, we have an unfair advantage over the world. See, a lot of people miss this. We have something the world doesn't have. You know what it is? A direct line of communication to the commander-in-chief in heaven. I don't know about you. That's good news today, amen? The moment you accepted Christ, that's the access you have. I don't know if you know the profound impact of your salvation. For those who haven't surrendered, this is the secret to the Christian life. Not only do you have a place secured in heaven for eternity, watch this. The moment you accept Christ and give up your life in exchange for Christ's life, he gives you dual citizenship on earth. I love this. You're already a citizen of earth, everyone is. But then you become a citizen of heaven. You have one foot in both worlds. Think about it. You're living in two worlds simultaneously. And what that means is, if you desire it, you get to see things with spiritual eyes. You get to hear things the world doesn't hear. That's what separates us from every other form of religion in the world. Did you know this? One thing, main one thing. Every other religion does not have this. Our God, as Christians, you're gonna love this. Our God has chosen to live in us. That's the difference. Islam's five pillars of the faith can't offer that. Buddha's eight pathways to enlightenment can't offer that. Hinduism's 8 million gods that you pray to, a god for every season and every occasion, they can't offer that. The one true way of Taoism can't offer that. The difference is God lives in us. That's why when you ask somebody in Middle Tennessee, it's not, are you saved? Everybody's saved. The question is, watch this, does Jesus Christ live in you? Because if he doesn't, you don't possess what you profess. But if he does, watch this, we have a direct line to call upon and communicate with heaven. Friends, the tragedy of the modern church today, I hate to say it, is that we have a hearing loss problem. That's your greatest problem, hearing loss. Not that you can't hear, you can hear me. It's that you can't hear the voice of God. And the challenge is, we'd rather listen and hear from Fox News or CNN or CNBC, if we're honest. We spend more time on social media than in the Word. We'd rather learn from ChatGPT than anything else. We'd rather turn our attention to influencers or YouTube platform initiators than hear from God. We are more concerned with what's happening in the White House than we are what's happening in God's house. And friends, that should bother us. Should bother us. You know, people ask me, what's the difference? I told you when I started, this was the game-changing idea that just revolutionized my life. People ask me, what's the difference between pre-Porch Robbie? For those who don't know, there was a pre-Porch Robbie who came here, and then 2020, there was post-Porch Robbie who's here now, which he looks the same, but he's not really the same. But here's the difference. I tell people, after the porch, I got a new church, and you got a new pastor, and nobody left. Amen? Kind of what happened. But people ask me, what happened to you on the porch? That's when I started sitting, bending my ear, started with a couple minutes, turned into 2+ hours a day, bending my ear to hear the accent of the Holy Spirit. I'm not proud of this, but I'm gonna share it for context. Before that time, like most pastors, I would gather with my team, and we would whiteboard and plan and create and strategize, and we'd spend days. I mean, and by the way, we have some of the best pastoral ministers in America. I mean, really high level, capable men and women. And so we had great plans. And we would plan and we'd create, we'd bring it to the MAC team, bring it to the resource team. And then after that, we would spend about 5 or 10 minutes asking God to bless our plan. And then I started sitting on the porch and I realized by doing that, I was trying to force and wedge my agenda on earth into heaven. But if I wanted to bring heaven to earth through Long Hollow, I needed to learn God's agenda. So I began to sit on the porch and listen and bend my ear to the action of the Holy Spirit. Ideas started to come. In Hunger in Sumner, that was something from the Lord he gave us. I couldn't have come up with that. Prison ministry, to start prison churches of pastors raising up in the pods. I mean, that's something. The school of ministry again, that we're gonna equip you to go out and impact the world. To do multi-site campus again, when we finished, they said, never do. Well, God said, no, we have another opportunity to do it. Serving opportunity. All of these things are birthed out of prayer. Look at me. Do I always get it right and hear the voice of God perfectly? No. But I'm trying. I'm trying. Listen. I heard a monk say one time in a monastery, he said, a little sincerity with God goes a long way. The fact that you desire God is desirable to God. Just the fact that you're here is desirable to the Lord. So here's what's a whole lot easier. Pray and find out where God's working and just join God in the work, because he's working in your family, he's working in the community, he's working in the school system. God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Let me ask you, are you listening? Are you seeking? Are you knocking until the door of heaven is open? Are you standing on the watchtower, on the wall, as a watchman calling out to the Lord? The Bible is clear, and I told you this. God shows us there is a connection between faith and obedience, or trust and obey. When we walk in the Lord in the light of his word, you'll love this song because you remember it. What a glory he sheds our way. While we do his good will, he abides in us still and with all who trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's a few other. Is that what it says? Trust and obey, for there is no other way. To be happy in Jesus is to what? Trust and obey. Candy says this line, which is a great line. You're gonna wanna write this down. It's a good line to think about. What you fear most is where you trust God least. The greatest fear is where your faith falters, or you have the littlest faith in, or the least faith in God. What you fear most is where you trust God least. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for those who came today seeking a word from you. And I know in a group this size, there are many in here who would say, man, I need a word for my family. I need a word for my business. I need a word for this home purchase or this job transfer. I need a word for a relationship I'm seeking advice about. I need a word for my marriage. I need a word for my son or daughter where we've tried everything and we don't know where to go or what to do. I need a word for my health issue or this crisis I'm going through. I need a word for the financial issue that we're struggling through. I need a word for our ministry. I need a word for myself. Lord, speak to us now. We make time and extend effort and we wait upon you. So God, speak to us now. We're listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,